Hello and welcome to episode 61 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And today on Women's Day, we present to you our second male guest of the season, Shobhit Banwet. We're quite sure most of our Desi listeners have seen Shobhit playing his tabla with a six-wing ceiling fan in the background.
So Shobhit started out by making videos using his simple smartphone and zero equipment. But today he is one of the most famous tabla artists on the internet, and he creates beautiful fusions with all genres of music. So without further ado, let's jump right into the show.
Welcome to the show, Shobhit. I've been personally following you for a very long time, and it's really an honor to have you on the show today, and I'm finally getting the chance to speak to you. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I know this is going to be fun.
Great.
I know I've tagged you in a video, Shobhit, and I know that I've told you about this before we started the interview, but one of the main reasons why Meenal's so excited for this interview is that she's also a big-time tabla player, something that our listeners don't really know about. So, you know, after watching that Facebook video, I think that you, Shobhit, you need to up your game a little bit.
I might have some competition.
Oh my God, wow. This is...
But Shobhit, do you remember when you started uploading videos to YouTube for the first time?
Oh man, this was early into when I actually started learning. So I must have been like 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And
because I did snoop around a little bit and I saw videos from, I think, up to 9 years ago. So you look so different. You look like a teenager.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of those videos had taglines saying, sorry for the audio and video delay, they're freezing in between. Yeah. So, do you ever go back and watch those videos?
I do. It's so funny. I actually go back and watch them sometimes, and I just see how different I play now compared to then. And sometimes I look at it, I'm like, what was I playing? Like, I'm so crap.
I wish I was thinking that when I put mine up.
not that I'm amazing now, but you're always learning. But music is always something that you're always learning, and I feel like I have so much to improve on. But I do go back and I see how I used to look and how I used to play. And sometimes I surprise myself because some of the basic stuff, you know, sometimes you go back to basics. And I'm playing just simple stuff in those videos, but I'm like, how come I don't play that now, you know? So I remind myself sometimes by watching my older videos that, you know, it's good to go back to the basic.
That's very interesting because I know a lot of artists sometimes upload videos and they often say that they never go back and watch videos that they've uploaded because they find it weird to see themselves perform or to see themselves talk. But it's really good that, you know, you revisit those videos and you also try to catch up on the basics as well.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you, you know, 9 years ago, not a lot of people were uploading videos on YouTube, at least not at the rate that videos go up these days. So you were just a teenager. You said you were about 15 years old.
Yeah.
What do you think made you just pick up your camera, record yourself playing the dholak or the tabla and put it up on YouTube?
I don't know. I just, I don't know what sparked that, but I just started putting videos online. One of the first videos that I watched online, there used to be this comedy channel. It was local here in Toronto. It was called Desi Comedy. And and they used to put like, so there's one guy with harmonium, one guy with tabla, and they used to put like funny covers. Like they did Sean Paul's Just Give Me the Light, and they used to just jam to it, but they made a funny comedy out of it. And that channel was huge, like it was so viral. And that was like one of the first funny things like any of us as a kid saw online that was like Indian but Western music. And so originally, this video is not there anymore on YouTube. I put a really funny video of me playing dhol, and I was like jamming to it, and I made, I think I called it like dancing fingers or something, like something stupid funny like that. And it was pretty funny. All my buddies were like, this is so funny, but I removed it because I thought I looked stupid when I got a little older, right? And then I was like, oh, this is so, I'm so weird. What am I doing? I removed it. But so I started posting... Then I started posting like more serious videos, and I guess I wanted to just show people that I could play it. It wasn't really for any fame or anything. Like, I guess you just want that attention. You want to show your talent, right? And especially in your teens, like you want to show your talent. And
even if you might not have any.
I know.
Like me? Meenal, how old were you when you put it up?
I think I was
18 probably.
Yeah, I was 18. Wow. I was 18, yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't young and naive like and 15 like you showed, so I don't really have much of an excuse.
Good thing that video's not there anymore. But I feel like if it was, it would probably be like really viral.
But back then, Shobit, were you even aware that people could become internet celebrities or YouTube stars?
It wasn't a thing then, actually. So, it wasn't. There was like no one, like there was no Just Rain or like Superwoman, obviously. Like, there was like none of these people. And I felt like, I don't know why I did it. I just did it. And I guess I always had like that entertaining part of me to like in my genes, I guess, because my dad's, he's very like, he's a joker and he like, he sings and stuff and he loves his acting and whatnot. But maybe I like to be on the screen. So maybe that's why he did it. And but I was never consistent until like, maybe let's say recently, like until I got older. But I used to post like once in a blue moon. I used to just throw a video up there. So those are the videos you see now on YouTube. And a lot of them, I've privatized them. So...
And you spoke of your dad earlier, and your dad was also someone who initially sparked your interest in music, because he used to play for a band as well, and he used to play the dhol, and it was the dhol that you picked up at first, right? But you picked it up by ear.
Yeah, so he actually used to sing in a band. He was the main singer. He used to sing like old school Rafi, Muhammad Rafi, ghazals and all that. And but he also used to play dholak. He used to play at our spiritual center that we belong to. He used to just do service there. And also there was other players too. And I used to just sit there, you know, just watching them. And naturally, I picked it up.
So what made you want to pick up a new instrument? How did you gravitate to the tabla?
I used to play when I picked it up. When I was, like I told you, at our spiritual center, I used to just sit and watch. And then I started playing dholak at home by ear. And when I actually started learning, my teacher was also from the same center. So when I started learning, he actually suggested you should, you know, move over to tabla because it's more classical and it's, you know, you'll learn better on the tabla, and then dholak you can always, you know, continue playing. So that's when I was, I think, 13. That's when I actually started learning and I switched over to tabla. But the dholak part, I also kept on, you know, kept that practice going as well.
Was your dad like a big fan of your music? Because once you got popular, your dad made a Facebook profile just to follow your music.
Yeah, he did. He supports me and he always gives feedback and stuff. And, you know, he gives me his feedback. Even in the professional world, he knows locally, he knows a lot of the people that I've worked with. So he's handed down his experience on, you know, who, you know, I guess who to be aware of and who to work, you know, who's good to work with and stuff, because he knows the industry here locally.
And are any of your other siblings also into music, like yourself or your dad?
I would say, yeah, both my siblings. I have an older brother and younger sister. They're both into music, but they never really gave full attention to it. But it's in their blood for sure, because my brother, he can play a bit of dholak too. So he also sings a bit too. So sometimes we both sing at our spiritual center when we get the chance. But it's in their blood, definitely. But they're just busy with their own thing, I guess. I'm the only guy who just went forward with it.
And Shobit, you're an IT professional, and not that it matters today, but can you tell us what you studied in college?
So in college, I did my program was called ITSS. It was basically IT support, and it was a mix of everything.
Were you going to be one of those guys we call when our computer breaks down and you'd answer on the other side?
Yeah, so I did work at a call center, but but this was internal for employees, so I didn't deal with customers directly.
Right.
But yeah, same thing.
And you know, I'm inclined to assume that this career choice was kind of based on what all the Desi kids around you were also doing at the time, because that's how most of us just selected what we wanted to do in college. Was that the case for you as well?
To be honest, I didn't know. Like, when you're in high school, grade 11, grade 12, you know, they say you should know what you want to do when you go to university or college, but I didn't know what I wanted to do, to be honest. I was really confused because I'm like horrible at making decisions. So I guess I just discussed with my family, and you know, at the time I had a few IT courses as well, so it was still fresh in my mind, and I'm like, might as well. I just applied for like, I guess I just applied for the easiest program. I think that's what I did.
Well, I think when you're in grade 11, you know, you're so young, and I think even after that, I mean, now I'm 24. I still don't even know what I want to do with my life. I feel like
aren't you like 25?
No, I'm 24. Ankita.
Why are you telling Shobit that you're 24 when you're 25?
I'm 24, Ankita. What are you talking about?
Okay, fine. One more month.
You see, 24, Shobit, whatever. Do you see what I mean when I say that she's just like my mom? She's telling me my age. but back to what I was saying is that, you know, we, at such a young age, we're expected to know what we want to do with our life and what we want to do in the future. And I think even now, I mean, I'm at a stage that I'm almost finishing medical school. I still don't know what I want to do. So I think when you were at that age, did you have this like sort of conundrum in your head where you still weren't too sure what you wanted to do, but you had an idea that you wanted to go into music?
To be honest, I had I had no clue that music wasn't even part of the plan that time. It was just, I'm graduating high school, I'm going to college. And, at that time I wasn't even, so when I was in high school, I wasn't even doing professional programs. I wasn't playing professionally. I started playing professionally when I was 18. And, I was just, it was just like, oh yeah, high school's done. I'm going to college, whatever, you know, just do my thing, graduate and then get a job kind of thing. But, when I was 18, so my friends, they all knew I played, and they saw that I was getting good at my skill. And, you know, one of my buddies, he was actually, he's part of a Bhangra team. And he was like, hey, but there's a local band that practices at our academy where we practice. And he was like, you should play for a band. Just message them and see like what's up. And then I just messaged him like, hey, if you guys need any percussionist, a tabla player or a dholak player, you know, I'm there. And then, surprisingly, you know, they're like, hey, just come in, let's check you out. And it was like a tryout almost. And I kind of went off topic, but that's how I started playing. So this is probably right after first year college when I started playing. So school was going on as well, but at the same time, you know, I started doing my gigs as well with live bands.
But looking at your life today, now that you've quit your day job to focus on your music, I want to know if you ever had a goal in mind that if you matched this percentage of your salary as an engineer through music, then you'd quit your day job and start focusing on music full time. Did you have that kind of a goal?
I actually didn't, because after I graduated, whatever, I did work for a bit, but I didn't work much. I did a few different jobs, and then after that, you know, when my videos and all this stuff was starting to go viral, I wasn't working then. So I was just fresh. I think I was fresh off my job. So, you know, it just all worked out when I wasn't doing anything, my musical career, I guess, kind of took off. And, right now, to be honest, like it's hard as a percussionist, as a backup, you know, instrumentalist, to make your name, but and for it to be consistent, but I'm hoping that gets more consistent. It's getting better now since the last year, but that's how the story's been. I was working, and then that's how just my music career just took off after that, like right after I left, let go of that job. So yeah.
And most people call you a YouTube star, but YouTube is not where your fame started. It was the 15-second videos on Instagram that first got traction. So were you doing anything at the time to promote your Instagram profile, or was it just something you just did for fun again?
So Instagram, I think I discovered Instagram in like 2012. And that time there was no videos actually. And then 2013, they launched the 15-second videos. And I wasn't promoting at all. I just started putting up covers for the sake of it. But it obviously started with the traditional covers. So the Bollywood and the Punjabi covers. And then when I started doing the Western ones, it was just, it was crazy because social media is crazy. You don't know where your work can go. And one of these big accounts, I think it was like a West Indian account or something. They had a large following. They made a funny meme out of my one of my covers, and they reposted it. And that's what made it viral.
It was something about my mom wants to take the hood out of me, so
yeah.
I kind of remember that one.
Yeah, I just found it recently, actually. I reposted it on my Facebook page. So it was when my mom tries to get the hood out of me by sending me to the Mundur. Yeah, and I was playing tabla to like a gangster song. It was pretty funny.
But coming to your YouTube career, so to speak, you know, because that's not where you started off, getting noticed on YouTube, no matter who you are, where you're coming from, what fan following you have on other media accounts, getting noticed is one of the most difficult things you can do these days because the competition is really that high. Mm-hmm. Because I feel that to get noticed as a musician who does covers
yeah.
is as difficult as getting noticed as a makeup guru because every minute there are new artists popping
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's quite understandable why a lot of these artists are trying their best to sort of up their game with the production value. They bring in equipments, they have these fancy backgrounds and whatnot. But you did none of that to get popular. You know, you just had your ceiling fan and your tabla, and it was just you.
Yeah.
And I think that the video that you released in the beginning of February, it was a cover of It Ain't Me.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the first videos with a different setting and really good sound quality and everything. So mm-hmm. do you want to tell someone who may not have seen your videos at all how you used to record up until now?
I guess everyone's still used to that same setting, but it's recently this year, I guess more from since last summer, I started doing more high production videos and started using a mic. Before, it was all natural sound from my phone and the video. And it's funny, now that I'm doing the professional videos, you get the comments, hey, where's the fan? Like, we want to see the fan. It's so funny. Like, you know, it's that setting that I guess I don't have to remind everyone. Everyone knows where the video started from and, like, mm-hmm. you know, what the old
and
the original
you recorded
was.
On your phone, where so many people just invest so much money in all these equipments. You did it on your iPhone.
Yeah, that was my iPhone 5 at the time. So I was doing videos straight off my phone and just posting it up. And the story, you know, it went from Instagram to me making my Facebook page, and my Facebook page following is larger than my Instagram now. And then I started moving everything to YouTube. So you know, it's slowly all the platforms are growing now, and everyone, you know, if I try, when I post a cover, obviously I push it out on all my social media. So hopefully, you know, people see it on YouTube. I'm trying to direct everyone to the YouTube now. So that's the goal here.
Well, Shobhit, we had interviewed Vidya Vox recently, and her videos are like, you know, professional Hollywood music videos, and that kind of makes sense because that's who she is. But your videos are very simple, as simple as they can be, and it's just you, your tablas, and your ceiling fan from time to time. But what do you think was your magic formula to success, apart from hard work and apart from consistency?
To be honest, it's just that first cover that went viral. Social media obviously played a huge, huge role. You know, after that 15-second little cover, everyone wanted the full version, so I posted that. And then after that cover, it was the Calvin Harris, How Deep Is Your Love, that song. And he is the Scottish DJ, so, you know, that song was such a banger. It's such a big track, so me playing on tabla on top of that, it just turned out so well. So it was a combination of the track as well as my tabla playing that it was the sound more than the video. So everyone loved, you know, that fusion. I loved it myself. I enjoyed playing it so much. I guess that's also part of it, me enjoying it. So I enjoyed playing it so much. You know, you could tell in the video, like I'm smiling when the beat drops and whatnot. I'm enjoying it. And I guess the formula is you gotta just enjoy what you do and really put your feeling into it. And the rest, I don't know. I guess it was good destiny or something. I don't know, but everything just kicked off.
And you also said that you've started focusing on videos with great production value now.
Yeah.
So what sparked this change suddenly?
To be honest, now when I'm looking at social media, like after what I started, there are so many tabla players doing what I'm doing. Like, I feel like I started a trend. There's so many.
Well,
people.
I like to think I started it, but it's okay. I'll let you take this one.
I was gonna say that. It's crazy how many people tag me in their videos. So, like, you know, they're like, hey, Shobit, check my cover, check this, you know, check that. But when I notice their videos, everyone has the same setting. Some of them even have a fan above their head.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
So I was like, hey, I gotta, you know, up my game, you know, I gotta stay on top of it, since it usually, you know, when you start something, you gotta keep it changing and keep it up to date. So I'm trying to do that now. And as a cover artist, it's, you know, to be honest, I don't want to do covers my whole life. You gotta change up the game, and in the future, hopefully I do that, you know, get into a bit of production and all that as well.
So right now, do you have a team helping you, or are you still working solo with your new kind of videos coming out?
Right now I'm solo. I'm still solo, but my camera work and stuff is my best friend, Ashish. He also learned tabla with me, so we learned together. He's also very talented. He's a photographer as well. So he has a very good vision for photography and videography. So he shoots my videos for me, and he's nice enough to help me out that way.
And you produce music in the West, but the origin of your kind of music, as well as your own roots, they lay in India. So you merge both these cultures through your music. But if you had to pick between any of the two, which one would you pick?
I'd pick the Indian classical, to be honest. I'd pick my roots, because that's where it started, right? And that's what I grew up listening to. So
do you have any aspirations to go into Bollywood, or even maybe collaborate with other Western, or, you know, musicians from India?
Yeah, so in terms of collaborations, I'd love to collaborate on the Western side rather than the Bollywood side, because you don't hear much tabla in the Western world, right? If like, not at all, if anything. You hear it here and there. Like, for example, I know Selena Gomez recently, she used it in one of her tracks. She used a tabla and tolak. And I think that song was, if you want it, come and get it. And she goes, na 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 na, something like that. So she, like, when I heard that, I was like, what is this? Like, this could have been me, you know? And then...
But Shobit, apart from me, who would your dream collaboration be with?
Oh, man, you were on top of the list. It's like, if I could... Because there's so much local talent, I wish, like, someone like Drake or The Weeknd, or even, like, Justin Bieber, that would be amazing. I know it's, like, those are big names, but still, like, they're all Canadian, and, you know... There could be a Canadian connection there, so you never know.
Well, Shobit, well, just one thing I noticed, that you're from Canada, and you do visit India once a year, but you don't really have a strong Canadian accent. Like, is that anything to do with the fact that you visit India often? Or
probably, because when I was younger, I used to go to India a lot. Like, well, I go every year, but when I was younger, we used to go for like 6 months. So,
Okay.
Yeah, we used to skip school and miss school a lot. So
yeah, I was just going to ask you, like, Shobit, did you ever go to school?
Yeah, we did. So when we used to come back, the teachers used to complain to my dad. They're like, yeah, your sons are speaking Punjabi in class. They're not speaking English. It's so funny. Yeah. So I guess that probably definitely had an influence on my accent.
And you've also had quite the Desi upbringing, right? Because not only, I mean, we just found out that you used to spend 6 months in India every year, but a Desi side to you is that you're quite a spiritual person.
Yeah.
And this is something that a lot of people from our generation don't really talk about, don't really say openly. So I wanted to ask you, what exactly is spirituality to you?
It means the world to me, because... I was born into it, and you know, it really helps me, especially now that I have a bit of a fan following. It really keeps me grounded. It reminds me, you know, like, I always think that, you know, this talent, if I got it, I'm blessed with it, and it could be taken away anytime, and which is why I have to, you know, nourish it and, you know, practice, and at the same time stay grounded, stay humble. I was about to cry there. I'm joking.
we can edit it in the sound.
Add some sound effects.
Yes.
It means a lot to me, because, you know, every time if I get some success, I always direct it towards God and, you know, also my parents, and I remember what my, you know, what I was before this. So it's a reminder, a constant reminder that, you know, you're nothing, and you know, just keep grinding, that, you know, everything's just a blessing, to be honest. I don't want to go too deep into it, but yeah, it's just a big reminder, and it helps keep me grounded.
And Shobhit, in our Desi community, and especially in the Hindu community, when people get together to celebrate their beliefs or their way of life, there's always music involved. You know, our movies, our weddings, our celebrations, they all reflect this culture with, you know, our bright colors,
yeah,
our music and dancing, everything. So were you a part of such a community growing up, even in Canada?
Yeah.
Well, he spent most of his time is in India, Ankita. So
India. No, but in Canada, did you have this kind of a community, you know, feeling with the people that you lived with?
Yeah. So Canada is like, it's very multicultural, and we have a huge Indian community here, and you get to see the best of every culture. And where I grew up in a very multicultural area. So there was, you know, you had the Latinas, the Latinos, the, you know, the Asians and the Oriental Asians and the Indians, the West Indians, the Jamaicans. So like, I grew up around everyone. And
and have they all had a kind of influence on your music and your interest in music?
Big time, because growing up, like, we used to listen to, you know, I remember back in the school days, even just a few days ago, me and my brother were just pumping like old school, like Jamaican tracks, you know, stuff that we probably would have never heard if it wasn't for our friends in school, you know, like we were bumping, yeah, like Beanie Man, Elephant Man, Sean Paul and all that stuff, like old school tracks, even Bob Marley. And yeah,
I don't know if that was an but
that was a little.
Yeah, it's okay. I got a show bit. It's okay.
But Bob Marley with tabla.
Your parents have shared that one thing you never shied away from was practice, even when you were just a tabla student, and you used to practice for hours. And, you know, I mean, I, being a tabla professional myself, I do understand that it takes a lot of discipline and dedication to do, you know, something like that. But have you carried on this discipline towards your adult life as well? And how do you think your dedication towards tabla has sort of helped you in other angles of your life?
Definitely. One of the huge things that I've learned is consistency. So, you know, if I don't play tabla for even a week, you know, my hands feel slow. And in life, you know, in general, you got to have consistency in anything you do, whether it's your work life or, you know, whatever, love life or, you know, anything. So it helps. It reminds me, you know, how far I've gotten with practice. If I don't practice in other aspects of my life, if I don't keep things consistent, then, you know, I'll feel the lag in it, and I won't get to the next step. So,
well, you know, they say this 10,000 hour theory, that you need to practice something for 10,000 hours to be good at it. But mm-hmm. I think that's something that is really important to understand, is not just the 10,000 hours, but it's quality of those, yeah, 10,000 hours. And how many hours do you spend playing the double age, Dave? You know, usually
like sometimes, I'll be honest, I get lazy sometimes, but mm-hmm. like, for example, yesterday I was in my room all day from like I'll be in there from like, say, like 2 p.m. to like at least, let's say, 4 or 5 hours. And it's not only practicing. Sometimes I'll practice and certain techniques I want to get down, but a lot of the time I'm doing covers. But that, even doing the covers, it's also practice, because all these songs that are recorded on a click, so they're on a consistent beat. So when you're playing along with them, you're getting stamina, and your timing is getting better. So that's also practice. So yeah, I spend sometimes hours in my room. Like, I spend a day in my room. And per week, let's say, you know, I'm in my room playing at least 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's just my routine. Sometimes when you're really feeling it, you spend all day in there.
In some of your covers, I've noticed that you mix both the tabla and the dhol.
Mm-hmm.
And for total noobs like me who don't really understand this, can you explain the difference in the musical quality of both these instruments, especially when they're played together?
Yeah, so together, it's an amazing combination. If you've seen anything live with tabla and dholak, so the tabla is more, it's a more classical and more, you can tell the pitch difference. So it's more of a classical instrument, and it's played more of in a technical way. So it's more finger work. And as for the dholak is more, it's more folk, and it has, right, it's played more open-handedly. And together, there's certain patterns that, because the beats are the same, but the patterns, like the variations, are different. But when you play certain variations together, it sounds beautiful. And you can tell if in one of my videos, like I did Rockabye by Sean Paul, and that one I used dholak and tabla. So you could tell, like on my tabla, I'm playing a different variation. On the dholak, I'm playing a different one. But together they sound great. So I guess if you're the more musically inclined people would understand that. But if you watch, like,
visually, don't worry, you could probably... I totally get you. Totally.
Mina will probably get you. I don't really.
If you watch it, I think visually you'll see it.
So you would see. And when you do covers of Bollywood songs, they usually come with a pre-existing tabla component, like most Bollywood songs have. So what do you usually do to sort of remove that and add your own tabla version in there?
So I've...
Technically speak.
Yeah, technically.
I've actually never removed the actual tabla if it's in a song. Because nowadays songs are mostly, they're all EDM based and, like, you know, electronic, right? Like they have that aspect to it. So it's not like old school songs, like you just hear tabla or dholak, you know, and just harmonium. So it has like that EDM influence to it.
So that's an advantage to you then, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It gives you more space, yeah.
Because when I play tabla, then it fits well and it covers everything. So the tabla, if there's tabla and dholak in the song, it'll be like a very low volume, you know? But when I play, I keep my volume a bit higher, so it overtakes anything that's already there.
So you know, Shobit, I think recently you put up a video of a song from Satinder Sartaj of Sajan Razi. Yes. And I actually did comment on the video. I don't know if you saw it, but I think
just fangirling a little.
Yeah, I think Satinder Sartaj's music is generally quite classical, and he does have like tabla and dholak in there as well. But I don't know, you really did it. Honestly, you really did a great job, because that song for me, I've been listening to that for like 2 years now since it came out, and it's still one of my favorite songs. And honestly, you did such a great job. I never thought that song could be even more beautiful, but you really did make it so much more beautiful. So I just wanted to say that
song is beautiful. Beautiful. I love
it. Yeah, it is.
And I enjoyed playing it too.
Sorry, I know. Yeah. I was going to ask you that when you do songs like these that already have these tabla components in them, you know, do you ever try to get creative to do something different from what is already there in the song?
Yeah, usually I never play the same variation that's in the song. I'll play my own variation and I'll give my own touch to it. So, you know, like the regular Punjabi beat that you hear, like, you know, dingala kalak, right? That's like regular beat you hear in every song.
That's the only one.
That's what my dad used to say to me.
That's the only one, Mina.
That's what my dad used to sing to me when he tried to make me to dance. He'd be like, dingala kalak, ding.
Yeah, so I'll never...
That's where you get it from.
Yeah, I'll never play that. Like, I'll play my own variation. And maybe when the beat drops, then I'll come back to it. But I always try to keep it different.
And you know, Shobit, I'm actually a huge fan of Coke Studio, especially the Pakistani version of Coke Studio. Mm-hmm. And I actually want to say that I have noticed that Ali Sethi follows you, and I'm a big fan of Ali Sethi as well. And I don't know if you've followed. I think it's a season 5 or season 6, but they were, I think, in Serbia where they shot one season, and they were playing instruments like tabla and all of these harmonium and everything, but they were white guys. I don't know if you noticed that, but there was like a black guy playing the tabla and a white guy on the string guitar. So do you think that we can actually create a revolution where we're bringing our culture into the Western world?
Yeah, definitely, because a huge influence to that was Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan.
Yeah,
he was, his concert used to have, you know, have the non-Indians in it, and they used to be dancing and going crazy if you watch like old YouTube videos. And there's another group, I forgot what they're called, but they're all white guys, and they're a Qawwali group. It's on YouTube, and these guys sing full out Qawwalis, and there's a girl that plays tabla and she's amazing, and they're singing like proper
harmonium. Who's this girl? I need to find her. She can't be taking my limelight.
She's actually really good.
Okay. Unlike you, Mina.
Oh my god, I feel like people are going to listen to this and think I'm some amazing tabla like that.
I'm going to link Mina's video in our show notes just so that our listeners can know.
Make sure you send it to me.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, there's a full Qawwali group out there and they're all white guys and a girl playing tabla. And that influence is there. I mean,
Doesn't that make you really proud to see our culture out there? It's amazing.
It's amazing because even here, when my viral stuff, like my stuff started going viral, I was on like so many media platforms, like local news channels, and definitely that exposure, it went out, right? For sure.
And you've been having ongoing talks with Sony and Savin, and but one thing you said is that it's hard to monetize covers on mediums such as these. So I was wondering why that is.
It's more YouTube. So when I put stuff on YouTube, it's
right.
You can't really make money off someone else's song, right? Every record label has like a different rule. Like it's weird on YouTube. For example, like some songs that you put up, the record label will block it worldwide. So there's no point even putting it up because no one can see it. But some of them block it in certain countries, and certain countries can view them, some can't. But then some record labels allow you to share the revenue. So like it's weird, like it's different. Every song or every label has like a different rule, I guess. And for Savin and Sony, when I was in contact with them last year, they told me, this is Sony, they said, try doing something original, make original music, and we'll try pumping it out and see what the response is, because you already have a fan base in India. So I never really got to get into the production and make my own music because I was traveling so much. So I never got time to learn the actual software. Like the most I do is edit my tabla sound. That's it. Mm-hmm. But not making music from scratch. So
something that you're going to look to do in the future?
Yeah, I still want to do that. I want to learn, the production part of it, and hopefully, get back into contact with them and see what they say.
So what is next for Shobit then? What can we look forward to?
To be honest, right now I'm just doing cover work. Obviously with music videos and stuff, like proper quality, but I was, I had some plans, but I don't really, I'm not going to say it right now, but
it's okay.
It's apart from music. It's in the,
you can still release exclusive content.
Let's just say something like YouTube videos, but not music, something.
I do want to just say that, your YouTube videos, I think they're really beautiful because when you're playing the tabla, you can just really see that you're enjoying it. And I think the visuals and the way the camera moves around as you play the tabla, really, you're doing a great job with that. So, I personally would love to see more of that. And it might sound really silly, but, like times like this where I'm studying and I'm stressed out and, listening to your tabla and watching your videos, it's really peaceful and it's really calming. So it does help me a lot. And I'm sure it probably brings a lot of joy to other people who also watch.
And I'm sure it'll have the same kind of effect on your female fan base if you start vlogging as well. Because you did mention vlogging earlier. Your female fan base is going to be so happy and relaxed watching.
So like I want to, do more stuff, not just music. And, I was discussing with my buddy Ashish. He's he has an amazing vision for producing and that kind of stuff for video. And, I just wanted to do something different. And I have the exposure and the fan base, so I'm pretty sure they'll watch it and do something different. Maybe do like a series or something, YouTube series, or, do something. So we just started talking about it recently, so nothing confirmed. But
we're really looking forward to Shobit. And if you can always count on me and Ankita to be your biggest fans to watch all your stuff.
Thanks.
It's really been a pleasure speaking to you today, Shobit. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Any of our listeners want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Oh, for sure. On my social media is the best way. My Instagram is there at my, which is my name, Shobit Bandwidth. And then my Facebook, Shobit Bandwidth Music. And the Twitter is all there. You just got to put my name and you'll find it.
Awesome. We'll add that to our show notes. So thank you so much for joining us today, Shobhit. We hope you enjoyed this chat.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
And as always, many, many thanks to our listeners for tuning in, and a very special thanks to Shobhit for his fun, stress-free conversation with us. We had a lot of fun today.
You can find Shobhit on all social media platforms, where you can find his videos and his latest fusions with the latest R&B songs, hip-hop songs, Bollywood songs, anything. He is very talented. You can also find us on social media at Desi Outsiders. If you have any questions or any feedback, you can drop us a mail to mail@desioutsiders.com. So until... Are you trying to steal my Lambo?
Sorry about that.
So until next week, I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.
Why didn't you do it today?
I don't know. I wasn't feeling it.
I'll do it. We are the Desi Insiders. Okay, bye.
Oh, man.